So who wants to guess what J is for? Jesus, Joseph.
Joy.
Joy, okay. What's that? That's right. The biblical, right. Jersey, I like it. Janine, for reading scripture. Joe, anybody else? J is for?
Jingle.
Jingle. Oh, tis the season, right. Well, for starters this morning, J is for Jesse, as in Jesse, the father of David, King David, and it's worth noting the grandson of Ruth, as in the book of Ruth, as powerful a witness to love and faithfulness and courage and resistance as there is in the biblical record. Matthew's aim is to assert Jesus' royal and divine lineage. This is how he begins, the Gospel of Matthew begins with this divine lineage going all the way back to Abraham with, by the way, a whole bunch of J's in between. So J is also for Jacob, Judah, Jesse, Jehoshaphat, Jeram, Jotham, Josiah, Jeconiah, and then eventually another Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, as in Mary, the miraculous mother of Jesus. We'll get to that story soon enough this Advent season. J, of course, is also for Jesus. But back to Jesse. The description from the prophet Isaiah likely comes out of the Syro-Ephraimite War, roughly 8th century BCE, a period when the Davidic dynasty, the Judean kingdom, was at a particularly low point in its history. A stump, as Isaiah puts it, compared to its enemies at the time. For the record, in case you're feeling impressed with my vast knowledge of ancient history, I had to look that up. But Isaiah's point here is that a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out from his roots. New life will emerge from where new life seemed impossible. Amy and I had a pretty big honey locust tree, a very big honey locust tree, in fact, in our backyard, cut down a couple of years ago. I actually have memories of when I was the interim pastor during the pandemic. We were doing everything online, and we had the crew showed up to with their chainsaws exactly at the start of worship, and we had to like make them stop because you would not have been able to hear us. Fond memories of that time. But we cut that giant tree over the course of a couple of days, they did, down to a stump, which we opted to keep instead of having ground down. And it's been amazing and frankly irritating to find little shoots of that damn tree showing up all over the place, in our yard, in our neighbor's yard, in the front yard, from a stump, over and over and over again. Life finds a way. According to Christian interpretation tradition, the shoot, the branch that would emerge from the stump of Jesse is, of course, Jesus, viewed as the Messiah, the one the prophets foretold, the one on whom the Spirit of God would rest, the one who would judge with righteousness and decide with equity, as Isaiah puts it, as Janine just read for us. J is also for judgment. We get in both the Isaiah and Matthew text this morning dramatic apocalyptic images of judgment. In Isaiah, he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. That's the prophecy. In Matthew, we're introduced to John the Baptist. J is for John, the camel hair wearing, locust eating preacher who called out in the wilderness a gospel of repentance, of turning back to God, right? Literally repents, turning around, turning back to God and turning back to divine love because God's kingdom was near, he says. Time was of the essence, is of the essence. John the Baptist invited people, by the way, since we're playing this game, from Jerusalem and all over Judea to pledge their commitment to the kingdom through the ritual of baptism, baptized in the river Jordan. He castigated the Pharisees and Sadducees, the teachers and keepers of Jewish law, for overplaying the hand of their esteemed lineage, all the way back, you guessed it, to Abraham. Bear fruit worthy of repentance, he said. It doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you believe. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. J is for judgment. And the text goes on with John pointing, as he always did, to Jesus preparing his way. I baptize with water, he says, but he will baptize you. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. J is for judgment, indeed. And if you make the mistake of taking such text literally, as many in the church have and still do, judgment is about punishment, including eternal punishment. It's cause for fear, for drawing lines in the sand. Repent or die. Repent or pay the consequence. But there is a method to the madness of such prophetic text, such dramatic, apocryphal prophetic text. One purpose, I believe, is to drive home what Dr. King called the fierce urgency of now, the critical importance of the present moment. Life, of course, is lived in this moment, today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us, so, you know, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Life, abundant life, depends on that. The other point of such images, metaphors, right? These are metaphors, like an axe at the root of the tree or the agricultural winnowing fork and threshing floor, is to drive home the need, our need to distinguish within ourselves between what is life-giving and what is not, what is necessary for life and what is not, what is fruitful and what is not. The wheat is life-giving, the chaff, the dry, scaly, protective casing of the grain seeds is not, at least for people. As Steve Garness Holmes suggests, the image of trees cut down is not a warning of the fires of hell, please, but about working with growing plants to produce more abundant crops. The image of the threshing floor is not about separating good people from bad people, but about sifting our lives to bring forth what is fruitful and discard what is not. The images of cutting trees and burning chaff are not images of judgment and destruction, but images of growth, change, and fruitfulness. Growth, change, and fruitfulness. Not repent or die, but repent and live. Repent and live. John the Baptist said, pointing to Jesus, repent and live. And Jesus said, pointing to God, not out of fear, but out of love, bear fruit worthy of that repentance, of that commitment. The kingdom of God is always near. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, is always at hand. But its coming, its realization, requires our investment in it. We are called, like John the Baptist, to prepare the way for it. The kingdom is near because God is who God is. It only comes closer if and when we live now in this moment, this present moment, each moment as the children of God that we are. When we live as those created for love, and so live and love like everyone else, the rest of creation is as well. This is the good news of the gospel. Amen. The running thread of Jesus' ministry through his life and through his death. Repent and live. Turn back again and again and again to God, the very source of love, and you will find new life. Turn back again and again and again to love. Love for each other as yourselves. Turn back to community. Turn back to the common good. Turn back to justice. J is for justice. Repentance is never simply a personal act between us and God or between us and another person. It is both an individual and collective ritual of participation in commitment and recommitment to the whole body, the body to which we all belong, whether we like it or not. The point of turning back, of repentance, is to turn back to the embrace of God that awaits us and to the gift of embracing and being embraced within and among ourselves. And so for the prophets, from Isaiah to John the Baptist to Jesus, judgment is not, it is not about punishment. It's about justice. Judgment, and with it, repentance, salvation, always points us back to justice and righteousness, to right relationships, to the peace, the deep, abiding peace that comes with justice. We heard these famous words again that Janine read, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is pure fantasy, of course, but it paints a powerful picture of a world marked by peace and justice. Imagine it. Imagine such a world. We can't get to such a world unless we picture it first. Vision drives commitment. Vision drives preparation. In the prophetic message, says Steve Garness Holmes again, salvation isn't about God rescuing us from the world's threats. It's about recreating a world that's not so threatening. Salvation is God's work, but we have to cooperate in that transformation. We have to seek and establish and maintain justice. And hear this one more from Garness Holmes. God's justice doesn't mean everybody gets what they deserve, but that everybody gets what they need. Hear that. God's justice doesn't mean everybody gets what they deserve. It means that everybody gets what they need. That's the kind of judgment we're talking about here. So J is for Jesse, and the hopeful Advent reminder that shoots and branches always find their way out from the stumps. And J is for John the Baptist and Jesus for sure. J is for judgment, but ultimately J is for justice. May it be so.